It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And just to prove we're live, it is Christmas Eve, the 24th of December, 2022. It's almost now, putting a year that we'd rather forget into the rearview mirror. So if nothing wrong happens in the next week, we escaped it, and that's something, I guess. I'm sure wish it could have been better. But you know, there's signs of life, maybe. Hope everybody had a great Festivus yesterday. You complain about whoever for as long as you want. It's your one chance of the year. Unfortunately for me, I couldn't think of anything to complain about. And then the weather got cold. I could have done that.
The market?
Yeah, it was okay yesterday. So it's just not okay lately. But there were some surprising things there, too. Anyway, to all the regulars, welcome back. Thanks for always being there. You're the reason we keep doing this and will. And for those of you who carried over from the real estate show, you just heard that Angela is continuing on a little different format. But since Howard retired, Angela's taking the show in a little different direction, but it's going to be the same time. And I love the fact that she is a good lead-in for us, because two of the things that affect the most people anywhere are money and housing. So it's kind of your Saturday morning catch everybody's attention list, and I'm very grateful for that and hope she does very well and loves the new format. Meanwhile, our format will not change at all, but hopefully week after week, we'll be able to tell you good news about the market. Who knows? That would be a pure guess. But this week, we ended on a high note yesterday. Not a real high note, but at least there was some green on the board. But that was at the end of another tumultuous week, which I will let Adam describe to the degree he cares to.
Yeah, it was mixed results in the market this week. The Dow made some progress and the NASDAQ went in the other direction. Kind of just the story of this year. Although the Dow isn't up for the year, its results are way less negative than the NASDAQ. And that was sort of the results this week as well. After a year of stocks retreating, it kind of feels like it's never going to end. 2023 can't get here soon enough, although there's no guarantee that a bad 2022 makes a good 2023. However, if we even saw a slight increase in 2023, I think we'd all breathe a big sigh of relief. It's just been that kind of year.
Just tell us it's over.
The good news is that while stocks have been trending down over the last 3 weeks, they actually have been range-bound for the last 6 months. The really good news is that the Dow chart is starting to look like a breakout.
Yep.
And it could be a sign that we're nearly through this. It's not a guarantee by any stretch. The Dow is down 8.6% year to date and just experienced a golden cross where the 50-day moving average crossed over the 200-day moving average while the market was going up. That is typically considered a very bullish signal, but it's not, again, a guarantee of anything. However, the market did test that moving average twice this week, and both times buyers stepped in and the chart stayed above the 50-day moving average. So that is mildly encouraging, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Confirmation is a good thing.
Definitely. The S&P chart, not as pretty. It's really kind of bouncing around that 50-day moving average. Although, if you look at the chart, the 50-day is trending towards the 200-day. And so if buyers stepped in next week or the week after, you could see that same sort of cross on the S&P chart. Again, I have no idea if that will happen or not happen, but the setup is there for it to happen should there be a decent amount of buying. The NASDAQ chart, on the other hand, just looks pretty ugly. There's really not much to say there. It's it would take a pretty big bounce, I would say, for anything to look decent on the NASDAQ chart. It's just so out of favor right now. But you know, sometimes that's when these things happen too, when things are looking their bleakest. So
if you're looking for a chance to buy low, you might be looking at one.
The NASDAQ, if anything, looks like they're going to test the November lows rather than step in and do a bunch of buying. So the tale of two different or three different charts right now. So one looking really good, one not so much. Interest rates took a big jump this week, with the 10-year starting the week under 3.5% and ending the week at 3.75%. This led to some bond funds losing some value, but an interesting chart right now is TLT, the long treasury ETF. It appears to be heading for a test of its 50-day moving average as well. A successful test would be a bullish sign for the bond market, while a failed test could spell a new low for the sector, which is down over 31% year-to-date. It was actually down more than QQQ for the year, but QQQ regained the lead, or I guess I should put lead in air quotes, because QQQ is down over 33% this year. So those two have sort of, they're not the worst performing, but they're definitely two of the bigger names that are the worst performing this year, with losses over 30%. So TLT, if it successfully bounces off its 50-day moving average, could be eventually it's going to be a really good buy. And I've been saying that for a few weeks now.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, if you were paying attention to what was going on in the company books, but I took my first little tiny nibble out of TLT yesterday.
Okay.
And it has been years since I've been in that thing.
Mm-hmm. One of the trickiest things about the bear market this year is that we've seen seven rallies of over 5% and three rallies of over 10%, and that's just during this year, during this bear market. Most bear markets never experience a single 10% rally, and the only other one to experience three was the bear market that happened during the financial crisis of 07 and 08. The S&P 500 has crossed above its 200-day moving average six times this year, only to fall back below every time, proving to be a false rally. So if you're feeling exhausted by this market, this probably explains why, and you're definitely not alone. Bear markets usually end when there is no end in sight, and there doesn't seem to be any way to climb out of the hole. Does that sound familiar at all, or does that feeling resonate with anyone right now?
March 9th, 2009 comes to mind.
Absolutely. Google searches for the word recession hit a record high in June and were over 80% above the peak of the financial crisis. So people are really, really, that just kind of tells you what's on everyone's mind right now. Recessions, doom and gloom, doesn't seem to be a path out of the current situation. I'm not saying that this is the end, but these are the conditions that usually set us up for the end of a bear market.
And we're definitely closer to the end than the beginning.
I totally agree. And that Dow chart gives me a little bit of optimism that maybe we could see it in the new year.
Mm-hmm. When you think about it, that's a strange one when the big caps have had so much fluctuation, and yet the Dow with only 30 stocks is outperforming everything the last few months a lot. In fact, look at the third quarter to date on the Dow, and it's a really impressive number.
Yep. It's actually up in the quarter 15.6%, so pretty big number. Yeah, and the NASDAQ is the only one that's negative for the quarter, down right. Just 0.7%.
Now, that to me says there's a pretty good chance that something more interesting is going to happen.
Got a little bit more after the break.
All right, we'll pay a few bills and come back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
The lines are open, 904-222-8255. We have, as usual, a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. And by the way, do we still owe some people some prizes?
No, we've caught up.
We caught up? Okay. Yeah. So if you want a new one, give us a call. Anyway, you can reach Ken at 904-636-7888. Everybody kind of knows that there are people who leave companies and forget to take their 401ks, or the company convinces them to stay or whatever. It adds up over time. In fact, it adds way up over time. How much money is sitting out there in company-sponsored retirement accounts, funds for which have been either forgotten or are now very difficult to access? In other words, things that you should go get and get them into your control in a rollover IRA or your new plan or whatever. How much overall money is languishing in those accounts as of right now? All right, little wrap up now on the happened.
I was talking about recessions, yeah. and I think the question on everyone's mind is: are we in a recession? Are we headed into recession? Where are we in the business cycle? And does it involve a recession? We think that we're in one. I shouldn't speak for you, but
no,
I,
you
I
do think, though.
Okay,
and
good.
You do well,
and we have been for most of this year, in my opinion. Yeah. The GDP is expected to grow by 0.5% in the fourth quarter this year. We won't know till next year, but I would not be surprised if that number came in negative. And there's a bunch of economic data that would agree with that. There's way more than this, but there's three indicators that I found really interesting that almost always coincide with recessions. And one of them is the ratio of leading to coincident indicators from the conference board. And it always, always, always rolls over right before a recession. Well, it turns out that it peaked back in December of last year.
Wow.
And it's one of those things that the amount of time between right now and between that peak is almost mirrors the amount of time between when that thing peaked and historical recessions.
Huh.
Yeah, go figure.
You know, history isn't everything. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Correct.
But patterns do tend to happen in the market.
No doubt about it. Another one is the percentage of leading indicators year-over-year rate of change, which declined 2.71% over the last year. When this indicator declines more than 2%, we have either been on the verge, we are already in, or we are on the way out of a recession. So it is currently lower than that, so that would indicate that one of those three things is true. Another one is the Chicago PMI. It's a very good indicator of a recession, and it dropped to 37.2 last month, the lowest it's been since the financial crisis. Every other reading below 40 occurred during or right after a recession. Every other one.
Hmm.
Yep. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
Now, you combine that with the yield curve being inverted, yeah, and the housing market going down, the jobs data starting to turn over. I just don't see how we're not in a recession.
And then you can overlay that on one of the more surprising statistics. The recovery in the market generally happens way before the end of the recession. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because the market is always looking forward 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. And if we're in one right now, it would speak very well for the beginning of a recovery coming up pretty soon.
It would. Well, I have no idea what's going to happen.
I can't either. That's why this has been such a frustrating year for people like us, because nothing makes a lot of sense. You can line up all the economic indicators, all the stats you want, and some of them say absolutely, like this one. Speaking of big companies having problems, everybody knows Serta Simmons, a combination of two giant mattress makers that go back farther than I do, I think. They're about to file for bankruptcy.
Oh. Hmm.
Now, I know there's a lot of new things going on in the mattress business.
There Casper's is a lot more direct-to-consumer than there used to be
exactly
in that space. So that
and
may have
now
something to do with
my
that.
Pillow's gotten into that act, too. I mm-hmm. noticed that just in the last few days. But that's a big outfit, and that's not good news for the overall economy. There's a company like that is on the ropes. But, you know, they can't really change it. So maybe the competition's just smarter than the old companies nowadays. Don't know. But it caught my eye because it's big. And last week I spent going over all of the layoffs we've had. This is going to culminate in quite a few more, I believe. All right, we have a phone call. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, and how can I say this? Merry Christmas.
You can say that.
Shalom, happy Kwanzaa, and if I could go back and something to gripe on, I missed 7 to 8 countries I could not, when I traveled the world in the Air Force, I could not go to because of my top secret clearance, and I wish I could have went to them, but it's all right. I'm going, hopefully going to Nova Scotia next summer, first time, so we'll see what happens with that. You guys are a legend in your own day.
I know you're in our own mind.
That was so nice of you to premise what you said with about Angela and the show. And I'm going to take a shot at the trivia question.
Sure.
I was going to go high, but I'm going to bring it down a little conservative about. So I'm going to say 200 million.
It's high would have been a lot closer.
Well, I'll leave that alone, but that was my gut feeling quite a bit more. But and another thing, people don't realize, if you had people, uncles, aunts, relatives, friends that pass in your family or acquaintances, run a check on the state you're in or that they passed in, because all this money kicks back from bank accounts, and you know this better than I do, to the state, and that's the law. If it's FDIC, it has to go to even the credit unions. It goes to the state,
yep.
And all these, there's money out there that people don't even know that there are people that passed in their family have, and it's just crazy. I'm going to let you go so someone else can call in, and I should have went with my gut feeling, but, you know, old age
in some time, and a lack of heat in the air, that'll do it too.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, 26, and then you said 42, high of 42 today in Orange Park, but with the wind, Gus, it's going to be 15 degrees.
Dude, walking into the station after I got out of my warmed up car, the breeze hit me right in the face. Oh my God, I didn't move 1,200 miles south to have this weather.
One of my relatives, I had to put something in my mailbox, which is 85 feet from my front door, and I found my uncle's brand new. He never used it. He always bought two. He was a horse policeman in New York City, a senior one.
Uh-huh.
And but this thing weighs 12 pounds. When I lifted it up off the special hanger to put it on, I'm like, well, this is going to keep me warm. And guess what? Double gloves, double beanie, and double mask to keep my nose and lips warm. And guess what? Except for my eyebrows, I was warm.
We need to fix those eyebrows then.
You have a great... We on next Saturday? Or
absolutely.
Right? We will be.
Oh, fantastic. I will call in, and you have the best crew in the world and the best financial gurus in the world. So give yourself a raise. Okay?
We will do that. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm glad Phil brought that up. There is a unclaimed property website for Florida. Mm-hmm. It's fltreasurehunt.gov. So that is the official site where you can go in and find if you do have any old 401ks or things that have been reclaimed by the state. They're required to hold them for a certain amount of time before they actually are entitled to take the money. But If you're missing anything like that, or you think maybe I left a 401k at a job and I can't remember, that should be listed on there.
Well, we have news about that too, and that's coming up after the next break. I'll be discussing what is now the law of the land, called the omnibus, and has a lot of other pet names like the son of Porculus or the grandfather of Porculus or the Porculus twin or just all kinds of things it's being called now. But part of that, and you all know if you've been listening for any time at all, how I've been tracking the progress of the law known as Secure 2.0, that did get appended to the bill and passed as I predicted it would, not without looking a lot like a sausage-making event. It was, I got it written somewhere, I'll figure it out between now and then. Who said that? Otto von Bismarck, it was. He said, we are all better off if we don't see sausage or law being made. And he was exactly right. But I'm going to be going over SECURE and a few of the things in the omnibus. The SECURE Act that impacts everybody to agree, even if you don't know about it, there is at least one provision in there that everybody ought to take advantage of once it's implemented. Don't know when that's coming, but it will. So after the break, we'll do that. Is there anything else you want to say about the market before we close this out, Anna?
No, I'm curious to see what the next week brings with, it'll be a light trading week. And typically those are, historically, those are usually good, but I'm not going to make any guesses about what's going to happen next week.
Anybody out there seen the Santa Claus rally lately? We need to wake it up and get it implemented. Now, you should all understand, too, that Monday the market is not open. That's the observed day of Christmas, and then the next Monday is the observed New Year. So we're having two shortened weeks in a row, and maybe a short week will treat us a little bit better than some of the long ones have this year. So I'm clutching at anything right now. All right, we're going to pay some more bills. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour on Christmas Eve. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to remind everyone that the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question remains, how much money is languishing in old company-sponsored retirement accounts that have either been forgotten or have become difficult to access? And maybe somebody will have a guess on it as we go to. Good morning, George.
Good morning. How about educating us stupid people out here? How does these large deficits that the company and Congress is adding up affect us, John Q. Public, in our daily living?
Well, that's a broad question. Fundamentally, it's part of overall inflation. There is a reason why in the 109 years that we've had a Federal Reserve, the purchasing power of the American dollar has dropped somewhere to the tune of 96%. And that reason is because we create money without creating corresponding value. The deficit spending continues that onward and onward and onward. So really what it's doing to us as individuals is robbing us of purchasing power. I think that's the most important aspect. Of course, there are things, debt bombs out there that could create some havoc, but I don't think there's anything as important day to day as the inflationary prices of things and the decreasing purchasing power of the dollar.
Sort of indirect way it's affecting you right now is that the Fed,
In
order to combat that, the Fed has been raising interest rates. And
so inflation is going to continue with the money they're spending up there in Washington.
Yes, absolutely. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
It seems like you're not hearing Adam. I want to test this. Adam, can you just...
Yeah, can you hear me?
We'll take that as a no. All right. Okay. Adam was offline for some reason, but I think Tom's got it fixed. Yes. In answer to your question, yes, it is affecting us. It will keep affecting us. There is no end in sight that anyone can see. You know, there's only three ways out of debt. You either take in more than you spend. That isn't going to happen.
Either tax hikes or something like that.
Yeah. And the one that they use is inflating your way out.
So, they're claiming inflation is going down, but yet they're still spending these large amounts of money each day.
That's something of a semantic argument. When they say inflation is going down, that is meant for you to misunderstand it. What they're trying to tell Americans is that the prices of things are going down, and that is not true at all.
No, they're going up slower.
Yes. So they're going up. If you go up slower, it's still going up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like taking the stairs up, but you don't come back down from this. So whether it went up 7% last year or 5.5%, it's still that much higher than it was a year ago. And if it drops to 3% over the next year, still 3% higher than today. Some things, commodity-oriented things, do go up and down. We know that, gasoline, copper, all that stuff. But the price level of what people have to buy, which is measured by the Fed in what they call PCE, or personal consumption expenditures, that is up 5.5% over year to year. And it's not going anywhere but up. So you got to be careful when you listen to anybody describe things. always ask yourself, what is the source of this? Consider the source. What are they trying to do to you? Because you know they're not just telling you the whole story. Unless, of course, you're listening to this radio program.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate the answer. It sounds reasonable.
Trivia. Hey, would you like to take a shot at the trivia question? How much money is languishing in old 401ks and such?
$800 million.
That was a great guess. Still too low.
Still too low.
Yep.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Take care of yourself. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye.
Now, that's a good question. What they're doing to us, they're doing to us in the wallet.
Yeah, and then another way it's affecting you is the Fed raising interest rates to combat the inflation, and therefore that is causing havoc in the stock market. It's causing havoc in the bond market, but it's also letting you get paid on your savings. So that's the positive side of it. But then again, you're going to pay more for any debt, consumer debt that you take on. So mortgages or loans or any auto loans, things like that. So it affects you in so many ways, and very few of them are positive.
That is absolutely the truth. And you'll hear very well-respected people like Steve Forbes say that the stable dollar is the most important thing we can do. And he's right, but we don't have one and we won't. In fact, if you're listening to Angela before we came on, she pointed out that a year ago the mortgage rate was 3.3. It's now 6.
Yep.
6.3, I guess. Yep. Or 6, even. One of them. Anyway, it's up. Yeah, it's been up 3 points.
It's been volatile, like all interest rate related
items. And that has changed the payment on an average mortgage by $1,000 a month.
Crazy.
It is. Now, how cheaply can you get that house? Well, you can't. Because of inflation. House prices are up.
But that's why you're seeing the housing market slow down so dramatically. Right. And a lot of people, even would-be buyers, are in wait-and-see mode because they want to know, are mortgage rates going to go down? Are house prices going to come down? So I think there's still buyers out there. They're just very hesitant to do anything.
And some of the beneficiaries of that whole thing are people like Home Depot and Lowe's. You're going to see a remodeling thing happen this next year.
I think it's already happening.
I think it is too, because you didn't have to do that. Angela went over this whole thing. I'm just trying to put a little encapsulation on it. A year ago, you didn't have to fix up your house. Somebody would buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Now you do.
Absolutely.
And who wins? Home Depot.
Or you were going to move, but now your mortgage is so attractive compared to what you would
so
get.
So the things I wanted in a new house, maybe I can add on to my house.
Right.
So there's all kinds of reasons to think there's going to be some good news in that area of the economy, I think. Anyway, Secure 2.0. Oh, phone call. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Well, I was going to ask a question, but I think you already answered it, and you were just about to talk about it. I read this week about Secure 2.0.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And having been born in 1951, I was going to have to pay the piper with my 457 plan from New York and the 403B. But I think I'm about to get from our illustrious government a year's reprieve.
You already got it. It was signed into law yesterday.
Very good.
Yep. Thank you. Now the age is officially 73, and Adam got a big gift. His in 11 more years is going to be 75.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, very good.
It reflects life expectancy, and therefore it's smart. That's the way I look at it.
I agree. It gives me all of us one more year to plan.
Yeah, we've got a slew of people in the business, including me, and this is the reason I've been on this so much, who were born in 1950. And if you inherit an IRA, you can be born back to July 1st of 49, but anybody born starting January 1, 1950, just slipped it under the wire where they don't have to take one this year.
We had a lot. It was like 6 clients that were affected.
And a lot of them are within days of my birthday. Mm-hmm. It's really funny to look at it. But yeah, it's a very good provision. I wish they had made a 3-year leap, but I didn't really expect it.
Yeah.
In the merger
it's
of
nice
the two
to know
proposals.
That something that was, what was it? 40,000 pages, 4,000 pages.
4,155.
Unbelievable. And it got slipped through in the middle of the night, I believe, at 3:30 in the morning. And That's how they do things in Washington. So it's nice to know that there was at least in this $1.7 trillion, I believe it is.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's a lot of what I remember was called pork back in the days.
Yep, mm-hmm.
And,
you got it.
Yeah, so...
Did you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Very quickly, I'm going to say $11.8 trillion.
That's too high, so we now have
a bracket.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen.
We appreciate it.
Keep up the great show and have the happiest of holidays.
Thanks, and Merry Christmas to you and all. All right. That was the first piece of good news on the Secure 2.0 Act, which was appended to the omnibus and made it through. And I'm going to bring up right after the break a whole bunch of other things, concentrating on the good parts, of course, but... We might have to throw in a couple of bad things that happened, too. I did not like the way this was done. I don't think anybody likes the way it was done. And I don't like being put in a position where I want a bad bill to pass for the selfish reason there was part of it that I like. But that's where I was. All right, don't go anywhere. One more break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Okay, trivia question still out there. How much money is languishing in old 401ks? We know that $800 million is too low and $11.8 trillion is too high. So lines are open, 904-222-8255. All right, as to the passage of the monstrosity, $1.7 trillion bill that funds the government through September 30th, by which time all budgeting for the next fiscal year is supposed to be done, never is. And they always manage to extend it with a continuing resolution out into December so that on or about Christmas Eve, they all just throw up their hands in despair, pass whatever is put in front of them, and go home.
That's basically what happened.
It's the same thing always happens. That's why I was so confident to everybody I was talking to, yes, this will pass. And then came the blizzard. And then I was 10 times more confident because they wanted to get out of there even worse. It is sometimes said that the most dangerous place to be in Washington, D.C. is between a senator and a TV camera. It's only second. The real most dangerous place to be is between any part of Congress and Dulles Airport at Christmas Eve Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really happened. But rather than dwelling on the negative, I wanted to hit some more of the highlights of the positive. The reason the Secure legislation is positive in this sea of junk is because it wasn't part of it. It was added on to it, and therefore it passed. But it was negotiated out of the old Secure 1.0, which had bipartisan support. 2.0 had even more bipartisan support. It was shaping itself into two different proposals that were easily merged, and what came out of it was what got appended to the bill, which is passed and is now the law. And somehow, some way in here, there are very few people who aren't touched somehow by some of the good news in here. The first group of people are those born after 1949, everybody there received a reprieve for the required minimum distributions, as you heard on the call, which effective 73 will be effective on next year. Now, there's a point of confusion easily made in here. I turned 72 this year, and the required minimum distribution age is 72. And the reason it's confusing is that you would normally think that meant by next week, before next week, I had to take money out of my plan because RMD age. But that's not true. Anyone born in a certain year, when they reach the RMD age, whether it's 72 or soon to be 73, they do not have a required beginning date in the year they turn that. For the first RMD, for everybody, the required beginning date is March 31st of the year following turning the age. And the reason for that is that many people tend to retire the year that they turn, whatever age they're going to turn, and don't really want to take one now, so they're allowed to wait for their first one until March 31. The downside of that is that on that year, you have to take two. You got to take one for the previous year on or before April 1, and the second one by the end of the year. So if your income gets cut way down because you quit working that year, that's fine. So you take two next year, and it tends to equalize things, where if you had to take one now and you're still working, it would be higher. So it's kind of confusing how someone who is in the age that's being changed can get after the first of the year when the new age comes. That's why, because we haven't reached the required beginning date. It's a little convoluted, but that's how it works, case anybody's
there's a concerned. Little bit of an unexpected benefit to that also with the market being down. Your first RMD, if you're in that category, is probably going to be much lower than it would have been
Absolutely true. In fact, I'm writing that. I started the blog posting for this next week, and that's part of it, because it is it's a rare benefit of a bad market.
Yeah.
when you're clutching at straws, just say, well, what did I get out of this year? Think of that one, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, there are some other things that were in that provision, or in the Secure 2.0 part of the plan, that it will affect a lot of people, but they might not even know it yet. You've heard of auto enrollment. There were certain plans and certain conditions where employees that were incoming to a company had the option of doing an auto enrollment plan so they could get into the 401k or 403b, and they had to opt out. Well, that's now that's the state of the art now. New plans, this did not impact yet existing plans, but for all new plans, employer-sponsored plans, the default now is auto enrollment, and that can start anywhere from 3 to 10%. And contributions rise 1% every year until it gets to at least 10%, but not more than 15%. The bottom line on that is you should do it. If you find yourself impacted by this, you should do it. If you feel like you can't do it, it's up to you to opt out instead of opting in. As you can imagine, when somebody takes a new job and does not opt in right away, it's going to be a lot tougher for them to get into the plan, which they really, really need to do. All right, we know about the RMD age, and I mentioned earlier in the show that for people younger than I am, in five more years, 08, it will be up to 74, and then five more years after that, it goes to 75. Again, a really good thing, because people are living longer, and it increases the probability that you will not run out of your plan money before you run out of life. And that, of course, is unacceptable to everybody. IRA catch-up contributions have changed. There are numbers that the laws and the IRS and so on deal with that are called statutory, meaning it's this number. One of those that almost every investor is familiar with is the $3,000 that you can take off your taxable income every year for accumulated capital losses, and that has not changed since I knew what capital losses were, I guess. That was statutory. I don't know if it got changed. There have been people who whispered about it, but I don't think it made it in there. But one of those things, the IRA catch-up contribution, has been a statutory $1,000. That is now indexed for inflation beginning in 2024. And why do they have to wait a year for some of these good things? I don't know. But it will be indexed by the Consumer Price Index in $100 increments. And that's okay. That's for IRAs. The similar thing for company plans. Those are $6,500. And as an aside, Adam and I have been irritated about this forever. Why, if you work for a bigger company, can you put an extra $6,500 in? But if you're working for yourself and have an IRA only, is it only $1,000?
Well, next year it goes to $30,000 that you can put in a 401k if you're over that age. Yep. And an IRA is still stuck down at what, 9 or 8,000, something like that?
It's 7,500 now, and I want to say the base did go up, but I haven't ascertained that for sure yet.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this out of the 4,155 pages, I've been trying to work through some of them, get some of the answers, but it isn't published in its final form yet. I will know a lot more next week than I do now. Anyway, there are additional catch-up contributions for plan participants now who attain ages 60, 61, 62, or 63 by the end of whatever year it is. They will have their extras will bring their catch-up contributions to $10,000 or 50% more than regular catch-up contributions. We like this. Anything that allows us to do more, we like. I wish they were all higher. All right, we're down. I think the phone's ringing, but we're done within a minute. We gotta do this.
We also need to wrap up the trivia question.
Yeah, it's $1.3 trillion languishing, and I have time for just this one fact for today. This provision establishes a lost and found department at the national level for plans that have been lost, forgotten, hard to find. If you've moved from state to state, so on, and have prior jobs and think you have anything, when this database hits the road running, you'll be able to look it up at the federal level and not have to go to the sites for every state you've ever lived in. That is a very positive thing, and I hope they did it. All right, much more. Wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. We will be here on New Year's Eve. I hope you are with us. Have a good one. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.